Not much is known about him, except that he was one of the newborn Christian church's first deacons, called by Jesus' first apostles to help spread the good news. St. Stephen was also the church's first martyr, stoned to death some 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, for his belief that the Messiah had died so that we might live. Christian art historian Elizabeth Lev told me what is known about the life of St. Stephen and how his cult flourished in the early church, so much so that the Roman Emperor Constantine even built a church to him here in Rome. Today, his feast is celebrated by the church on December 26th each year.
This story comes up after the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles as one of the first deacons. If you remember, the apostles ordained seven deacons in order to assist them in the functions of the church, and St. Stephen is the most famous one. And shortly thereafter, the preaching and the teaching and the example of St. Stephen outrages the members of the local community to the point where St. Stephen was famously stoned.
And this all occurred just outside of Jerusalem, didn't it?
It all occurred outside of Jerusalem. The story of the martyrdom is extremely interesting because it brings us into another, it introduces us to another very, very important character of the New Testament. The martyrdom of St. Stephen was very impromptu. St. Stephen raged the elders and they gnashed their teeth and they dragged him outside the city walls of Jerusalem and they began to throw stones to stone him, but they were wearing heavy cloaks, and their cloaks got in the way of throwing stones. So they took them all, and they gave them to a man in the crowd whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was kind of like the coat check guy for the stoning of St. Stephen. And after the stoning, Saul of Tarsus thought that these Christians were a very pernicious force. He himself would go to Damascus and would gather more Christians, arrest more Christians. And on the road to Damascus, he was visited by Christ, and he converted and became St. Paul. So not only do we have the first follower to make the transition from this world to heaven, the first great example of following in the footsteps of Christ by dying for Christ, but at the same time, we have the rebirth of another man that goes from this story, the death of Saul and the rise of Paul.
So this would have all happened within a few decades after the death of Jesus Christ.
Yes, even sooner, within a decade. It was immediate.
Mm-hmm. Where in Rome is there a church dedicated to St. Stephen? I know there is a very famous one.
The deacons in Rome are both very honored. There are two deacons honored in Rome. There's St. Lawrence and St. Stephen, and their churches are built immediately, along with the apostles, along with Christ the Savior. But churches to the two famous deacons, Lawrence martyred in Rome and Stephen martyred in Jerusalem, are built immediately by Constantine, 4th century, or in the Constantinian age. St. Stephen's church, the Caelian Hill, has apparently, from recent archaeological excavations, foundations that go back to the 4th century in the time of Constantine, although the church itself is documented from the 5th century on.
But was St. Stephen actually ever physically here in Rome?
No, St. Stephen never came to Rome, of course. His life, his short life, blossomed, flowered, and ended in Jerusalem. But it's the pairing of the two deacons, the two martyrs, because St. Lawrence was martyred as a deacon of Sixtus I. And so this famous martyrdom of a deacon in Rome and the famous martyrdom of a deacon in Jerusalem, bringing the two together makes that uniting of Rome and Jerusalem even stronger. So eventually, in the 6th century, the body of St. Stephen was brought, or a relic of St. Stephen is probably more likely, was brought from Jerusalem to Rome. And so there was, in the sanctuary of Santo Stefano Rotondo, this round church to St. Stephen on the Caelian Hill, a remnant of the great martyr.
Now, of course, in pagan times, the round temple was a very common form of architecture, wasn't it? So why was a church made in a round form?
That's a really interesting point about this church. This church is fascinating to archaeologists and art historians because it draws deliberately on the pagan tradition of a round temple. The pagans generally used round temples as victory temples. You would construct them in the wake of a great battle. You'd construct them dedicating it to the god who helped you in the military victory. And the Christians adapted this particular shape of a temple in this case. In one case only in Rome, for St. Stephen's Temple on the Caelian Hill, building it in the round circular form to mirror the idea of an ancient Roman victory temple, but also to mirror the first round temple, the first round church to be built in Christendom, which of course is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, built by Constantine in Jerusalem on the site of the tomb of Christ.
And of course, it would also mirror the Pantheon.
It does mirror the Pantheon as well. The Pantheon is an extremely complex building, and it's a building that was admired immediately it is admired already as the great showpiece of the Roman civilization, and the Christians experiment a great deal with the Pantheon. And of course, the Pantheon was the very first Roman temple to be converted into a church.
Now, let's talk about Santo Stefano Rotondo, St. Stephen the Round Church. What makes it also very interesting is the fact that it has a colonnade, a circular colonnade in the center of the space. Why is that?
It was actually originally supposed to have three concentric colonnades. It's supposed to have three sets of colonnades, which again, from 4th century building and even earlier, we have an example here in Rome, the Temple of Hercules Victor by the Tiber River. It's customary when constructing the victory type temple to have a colonnade that surrounds on the outside. Roman pagan temples put their columns on the outside. But since fundamentally Christians are turning these pagan churches inside out, the three sets of concentric columns in St. Stephen's, one of the sets is lost, creates a sense of closing in towards a core in the center. And in the center, you have the relic, or you know, what should have been the body of Stephen, but in this case, a relic.
Why do you think that this particular form of church was chosen to, I don't want to say represent, but to honor or as a place of worship for St. Stephen? I mean, there must have been other forms of architecture that were known at the time, available at the time. St. Peter's Basilica was beginning to be
constructed.
Yes.
In the history of Christian art, when we look at images of the martyrs, we see crowns and palms, and those are always symbols of victory. And so to emphasize, especially in this early period after the martyrdoms, Christianity, when St. Stephen's was built, Christianity had been a legal religion or the sole religion of the empire for only a century or so. And so to remind people of the victors who made the religion legal, they emphasize the idea of triumph, the idea of having won a tremendous battle. And so St. Stephen, who has the post of the special place in the calendar of being the day after the birth of Christ, comes the first man to emulate Christ's self-sacrifice. And if you remember the beautiful self-sacrifice of Stephen, because Stephen, as his executioners are throwing stones at him, he begs Christ to forgive them. And so in this, you see that true sense of Christian victory. And so by taking the first martyr and by building him a church which is specifically connected with the idea of victory, the Christians created an imagery, an architectural form that explained what martyrdom is. It's not the death, it's not the end, it's the beginning. And to just bring back the question of Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem had already been constructed by Constantine. So already in early 4th century, the Christians had already begun an architectural representation of Jesus's, the site of Jesus's burial and resurrection as a triumphant area.
Visitors to this church up on the Celio Hill, what would they see? Were there particular frescoes on the walls, statues, anything that would stand out?
Oh, the church definitely stands out. It's quite a church. From its 5th century construction, it was very beautifully decorated with the columns of the colonnade, our fabulous marbles. In the 12th century, they put in a Cosmatesque floor, which you can still see remnants. But the interesting part of this church takes place in the 1580s, which is post-Council of Trent, this new counter-reformation spirit, and the church was handed over to the Jesuits. And the Jesuits put in the church under this period, a whole cycle of frescoes was painted along the interior wall, and they all show martyrdoms, something like 30-odd martyrdoms that are very, very graphic. It's almost as if it's the Mel Gibson of the mid-16th century with all of the kind of clever ways of decapitating, burning, skinning alive, and perhaps not for the squeamish, some of them. Around the remnant of the first martyr, to have all these other examples of other men and women who died so that Christianity could spread in the world, it became a place for the young Jesuit novitiates who were going to become missionaries and who were sent out in the world to face probably this kind of death, to go and meditate what it takes to evangelize. There's also a mosaic of Christ between two martyrs, of which one is probably St. Stephen. St. Stephen's martyrdom shows up in many different churches in Rome. There are a few churches dedicated here and there to St. Stephen. They're smaller churches. Nothing quite compares to this extraordinary, unique architectural manifestation for St. Stephen. But there's a church near the Pantheon dedicated to St. Stephen. There are several. And if you look in a great many churches, there are chapels dedicated to St. Stephen. So you'll walk into one church, you'll walk along the chapels, and there'll be St. Stephen. Again, particularly reprised in the 16th and the 17th century, when martyrdom becomes on the forefront of everyone's mind. After the Reformation, during the 30 Years' War, it's very, very common to start showing martyrdom scenes again. And of course, over at the Church of St. Lawrence, the Basilica of St. Lawrence outside the walls, Stephen is naturally represented because a very old legend, the Golden Legend by Jacopo da Voragine, the volume of the stories of the saints written by a Catholic bishop in the 13th century, and he tells these wonderful stories of all the martyrdoms, of all the saints, and specifically St. Stephen's legend ends with the body of St. Stephen being transported from Jerusalem to Rome, and wondering where to put it, they think to put it in the tomb of St. Lawrence. And so they go to the Church of St. Lawrence, and they opened the tomb of St. Lawrence, and there was the body of St. Lawrence, who rolled over to make a little room for Stephen, which I think is one of the most lovely stories of the Golden Legend.
Elizabeth Lev is a professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University.